Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Mama. 100 mountains running, with guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Invested in stock, man, testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of our block, fam. A jar in the pot, man, gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching, hot damn, cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man, playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart, with ice over your heart, man. Hustle ain't a game, hustle in the art, man. 50% sour, 50% smart, man. And lameness turns ain't shit sweet. Life gets cheap once plans get breached. Be your own peace, trying to treat. Acting like they get their chance to eat. The politicians, they say we valid in the street. But they the ones who put their face behind the white sheet. With holes in it. Life is a picture, baby, I posed in it. So my attitude is go get it. Cause I come from a place that's colder than a jail cell with snow in it. So I don't need your e-pill, I'm already rolling. I don't need your weed, I'm already floating. I don't blow the white girl, I got the white girl blowing. Who needs to get used up? I'm lyrically flowing. I don't need your shine, I'm already glowing. I don't need your nine, boy, I'm already toting. It's one last thing that you rappers should be knowing. I impregnated the game, man, she just ain't showing. My man, I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air, yeah. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the frogs, took a hundred with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the frogs, took a hundred with the wolves. I done swam with the sharks, I done ran with the bulls, I done flown with the frogs, took a hundred with the wolves. I swam with the sharks, I ran with the bulls, I flown with the frogs, took a hundred with the wolves. My man, I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Hey yo, rappers try to battle me. Snitches trying to rattle me. Snakes trying to rattle me. Pretty bitches, they tackle me. It's crazy how my faculty rap for the cause. I got the realest and illest killers in back of me, y'all. And they down for whatever, no matter the weather. Nah, this ain't Run's house, but we tougher than leather. Our brother walk this way, lead you straight to the treasure. A pot of gold, but my road to the riches was cold. The devil had my dick in the dirt, soul in the hole. I had no pussy to hurt, no money to fold. This little bit of fame that I claimed quickly got old. These units wasn't moving, plus no hoes in my shows. But I couldn't stop rhyming, I couldn't stop grinding. Like Jack on that beanstalk, I couldn't stop climbing. Now look at the beast boy, he can't stop shining. Now look at the beast boy, he can't stop shining. My man, I'ma back off it though. Get that thing some air. I'ma back off it though. Get that thing some air. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. My man, I'ma back off it though. Get that thing some air. Listen, this ain't $1 million image, a bullshit gimmick. This real nigga lyric for real niggas to mimic. For the love of money, my niggas is never timid. Pitching so hard, them boys should win a pennant. Oh, fake ass rapper, your whole style is rented. I'm the super of this hip hop thing, thing, you tenant. Political MC, after I'm presented. Cause every car I drive, yo, it's presidential tenant. Slightly weak senate with some pretty women in it. That'll be down for whatever in a few 8 minutes. Come on, let's calm down the curses, cause the Christians got offended. And dumb down the verse, cause hip hop is in.
Oh, yeah, it's 10:05.
on a Tuesday night. And you know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Forums. I am happy that y'all are able to come and visit me once more on this glorious day that the Lord has made. We have a very exciting show, special guests. Can't wait to put them on. Let me make sure that you... Hey, Fly, you on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm glad to hear you. I'm gonna get my little prelims out of the way, and we can get started, okay?
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you know how we do at Sound Off Forums. You can find me at Facebook, george.mango.904. You can find me at Twitter at #SoundOffForums97413. You can also find me on Facebook on Sound Off 97413. You can also go to my website that I got up now. It's www.soundoffforums.com. That's with three F's, not two, with three F's. If you'd like to call in and just give a shout out or just want to have a, you know, want to talk to the special guest, please call in, area code 347-989-1014. And as we always do, we kick it off with Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as man pleases, but the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing that any man doeth, the same that he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye master, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is it respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against principles, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done, to stand. And let the church say, Amen. All right. Oh, man, we got somebody else online. Hold on. Fly, hold on for a second. We got a caller. Caller?
Yes, brother. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm just so glad that I finally found your show. I tried to listen last week, and it totally missed the time.
Oh, that's okay.
I learned about this show from Antoine Simmons. Antoine's a good friend of mine. And I'm so glad I found y'all. And so far I've been blessed by what I've heard. And I'm just so glad that that this show's on the air. And I thank you very much for all you're doing.
Well, thank you very much.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay,
and,
well, thank you.
You're welcome very much. You bet
call
I
back
will.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. All right, so without any other further introduction, that was very nice of that caller to call in and say I appreciate that. That was much love. So without further ado, I'll give Fly his intro. He has two albums out. The first one is for the love of hip-hop. The second one is called The Last Call. He's done countless shows in Oklahoma, Texas, D.C., North Carolina, New York, Philly, Florida, Atlanta, and, of course, Virginia, where he's from, the VA. He's opened up for countless artists such as Do or Die, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Beanie Man, Sean Paul, Future, Slim Thug, and so on. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Oh yeah, man. What can I say? Been rapping for a while now, 8 years. You know, like really 5, 6 professionally. Shooting a lot of videos nowadays. Just working hard, grinding. Virginia Beach boy, I come from Virginia Beach, 757, stand up. Yeah, man, that's just the basis of what I'm doing right now. Working on a new album, Sophisticated Gorillas. Partner of mine got the clothing line coming out, Sophisticated Gorillas. What else? What can I say, man? I'm just working, man, you know.
Right.
Fly top from VA.
Right. I know that I'd like to say that I had the pleasure with serving with Fly in the service.
Oh, yeah.
We were stationed together in Germany.
Yeah,
and
they don't know how crazy you really are.
No, they don't.
But I knew.
And okay, hold on, we got another caller. I'm sorry. Hold on, we got another caller. Yes, caller, can you say where you're from and your name, please?
Yeah, I'm Daryl. I was just on, sir.
Okay.
I'm the one that just found your show, and like I said, I tried to listen to it last week. And last when I was just talking to you, man, I just got cut off for some reason. So I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad I'm back on.
Okay. So let me continue to talk to my guest, and then you can chime in when you want to, okay?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And back then we were both specialists and stuff like that. We were in the, like I said, we were stationed in the Army together, and time has passed. He did his thing, I did my thing. We separated, and then I added him on Facebook, and I saw he was doing some cool stuff on rapping and stuff. I'm not really into a lot of rap and all that things, but I wanted to check him out and see what he was doing. He's doing some positive things. So my question is this: how far after you got out of the military did you know that you wanted to pursue a career in the industry of music?
Well, I was still in the military when I knew I wanted to pursue it. I didn't have total confidence in myself back then, though, so I didn't, you know, anything I'm a part of, I want to be wholehearted and, you know, I wasn't fully confident in my skills as a writer or as a performer, you know. So it took a couple of open mics, you know, out there in Oklahoma. That's where I really got started for real. Like, a friend of mine took me to a open mic. It was a little poetry spot, and you know you can't go in a poetry spot if you don't know how to spit and try to rap. You know, you really have to get deep in there. Those people will eat you alive, especially those slam poets. So, you know, that experience of hearing them clap is what gave me the confidence to really just go out there and, you know, really do it. So I would say I was still in the military. Basically, to answer your question, I was still in the military when I knew I wanted to pursue music. But I also wanted to pursue other things when I was in the military. You know, I went to college and stuff when I got out. So, you know.
Right. So what do you have your degree in?
Exercise science.
Okay. All right. Right. Now, did you get that while you were in the military, or did you get that after you got out of the military?
No, I used that GI Bill, man.
Yeah, right. I got that.
Outside of the military.
Right. So you said that you got your first start when you went to Oklahoma. Where exactly did you live in Oklahoma?
In Lawton. You know where Fort Sill is at?
Yeah, I live 45 minutes from it. I live in Wichita Falls.
Yeah. That's where I opened up for Do or Die, actually, out in Wichita Falls. But, yeah, and out in Fort Sill is where I was, you know, really introduced to a live crowd, that's not afraid to boo you. So yeah,
right.
that's where it happened at, pretty much, you know.
So now that you got your confidence built, everything out, what did you need in order to maneuver yourself and to put you in the spots to make you a well-known artist or even put yourself able to open for these people?
Well, first of all, you have to be kind of blessed with a talent, and you have to be lucky to know certain people, You know what I'm saying? Like, certain circumstances put you around certain people. And when I was out in Oklahoma, there was a guy by the name of Mr. D. Straight. He's actually doing, you know, faith rap right now, you know, but he really put me in a position to meet certain people. And now that I'm back home in Virginia, it's like I'm around certain people that can do certain things that can put you in a position to be seen or put you in a position to be around these people. Say, for instance, now I know video directors. 8 years ago, I didn't know video directors that I could just go to and get a video from. Now I know producers who just give me beats. Doesn't even make me pay for beats. You know, I didn't have that, you know, back in the day. So that kind of is what put me in a position to really go forward in my career and actually, you know, approach the industry on a professional level, not just on an amateur level, but approach it on a professional level.
Right. Now, you know how it is in the military. Everybody wants to be a rapper. Everybody wants to be a singer. Everybody trying to trace that mystical trait. So... Did you come across those type of individuals who were pursuing that, but what really didn't have the skills or the ability to keep up with you?
To be honest, man, I didn't really see too many people in the military that was rapping. I don't know if you remember a kid by the name of Bird. He was stationed out there with us. He was.
Yeah, I was dreaming about him last night, actually.
Yeah, like he Bird was kind of crazy. He was kind of psycho, but He was really the only one that was really rapping. Everybody else, I didn't know anybody who was even really singing, you know what I'm saying, when we were stationed out there and stuff like that. So I didn't see that, you know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's a new thing nowadays, but I didn't see a bunch of people who was trying to do music and stuff. Maybe like two or three people that I was around then.
Yeah, Bird had he had some real lyrics. Then we started talking about God and stuff, because, you know, he was my soldier. We started talking about God and God.
That's right.
And he started rapping about Jesus. I mean, the dude was, he was a phenomenal rapper. He had a way with words. He reminded me of Tupac, for real, he did. He just had a way with lyrics.
Right, he was all right.
He was off the wall, though. He was. Okay. So do you move back to VA, or do you stay in Oklahoma?
I live in Richmond right now. I live in Richmond, Virginia, you know.
No, I was talking about after you opened for those people when you got out there. Did you stay around, or did you go back to VA? How did that work out?
Well, I was in Oklahoma for about 2 years, then I came back to Virginia, 2 or 3 years maybe. It was like 3 years I was out in Oklahoma, then I came back to Virginia.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
and so when you got to Virginia, did you hook up with the necessary people, or how did that happen?
It took a very long time after that too, because Virginia's a whole different animal. See, people are a lot cooler in the Midwest, you know, out in Oklahoma and stuff. Virginia's kind of crazy, man. People don't like each other out here as much. It's not too much, you know, hospitality. So it took a long time for me to really meet certain people that could. Took years after, since I came back home, it took years to really meet certain people that put me in positions. That might be willing to take a chance. You know what I'm saying? That's like when you're in the underground, the biggest thing is people taking chances on you. You know, when you don't have all the money in the world, you have to rely on people taking chances on you. And it's not that many people out here willing to take chances on people, put it that way.
Right. So now, at that point, are you dumping your own money in there, or do you have sponsors, or how does that work?
Well, I have people helping, but it makes no sense for you to try to ask someone else to finance your dreams. You have to finance your own dreams. That's with any passion, period, you know. So I definitely, you know, spend my money into this. I also get help, though. Best believe that, you know, it's people that really, like I said, now there's people that are starting to believe in me, so.
Right. In 2003, you signed your first record contract?
Yeah,
with independent.
I thought it was over. You hear me? I thought it was over. I thought I was about to blow. But that's what all artists think when they first come in. They think tomorrow is going to be crazy. It was a good situation. It was out there in Oklahoma, Soliloquy Records. It was a good situation. It was just, at the time, it wasn't a lot of financial backing into what we were doing, so that's what kind of shut that down.
So what do you find as an artist? Do you need to be able to freestyle, or do you think you should be able to write, or do you think you need to be able to do both?
See, with music, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you don't necessarily have to do anything. If you want to rap, you have to be able to rap well. Well, it doesn't matter if you can freestyle. It doesn't matter if you can, you know, freestyling is a good trait to have because you can rhyme on the spot, but it's not a necessity. You know, if you're a great rapper, you don't have to know how to freestyle, to be honest.
Okay. Because I know, you know, there's a debate where you got to be able to freestyle or you got to be able to write. Like, for example, I know you remember the Fugees.
Yeah, I remember the Fugees. How can I forget the Fugees? That's a better question.
Right. More about Prize. You know, Prize, he was a producer and a writer. He wasn't really a rapper. You know what I mean?
Prize wasn't lyrical at all.
You know what I'm saying? So what I base stuff off on. So what is the talk about your first album. How did that come about?
My first album. Okay, I'll give you a scenario. I'm going to college. Going through tough times. I mean, toughest times of my life, you know. A lot of pain was pouring into it, you know, a lot of pain was pouring into it. It was like at times where I just had so much passion for hip-hop that it wasn't funny. You know, I still have that passion, but it was just that hunger that kept me through my tough times. It was the music, you know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, the positive people that I had in my life. But without a doubt, it was just a lot of passion in that album. That's why I named it For the Love of Hip-Hop. I rapped about stories. I did a little battle rap and it took it into the essence of hip-hop. I did a little, you know, something for the ladies. Told some true stories on it, you know, saying heartfelt stories. Talked about my family on it, the troubling times that my brothers went through. Stuff like that, man. For the Love of Hip-Hop. Just trying to get back to the essence of songwriting, you know.
Right. And then tell me about your second album.
Last call.
Right. When you finished that album, did you see growth from your first album to your second album, or did you already knew that you were at another level once you finished it?
You always know that you're at another level, or you always going to think you're at another level, but I really felt like I was at another level. But one of my mentors, a very good friend of mine, was saying, you don't know how far you have grown. You know, he was telling me this. He's like, man, your growth is impeccable. And when people close to you tell you that, they're not lying to you. You know, they're either going to tell you you need to stop, or they're going to tell you you're doing your thing and you're growing. And, you know, people like that was telling me, that was in my ear, like, your growth is incredible. That's what kept me moving. So, yeah, definitely.
Now, do you think that your next album that you're going to put out, are you trying to go mainstream, or you're good at where you're at?
I'm already mainstream. What are you talking about, man? sky's the limit, man. Sky's the limit. Of course I want to go mainstream, you know. It ain't just for the money, but it's good money in mainstream. And you want to be successful in the game, you know. You want people to hear you, and the more people hear you, you know, the more successful you are. So, of course, I want to go mainstream.
By all means, I wasn't saying, like mainstream. I mean, because I love your music, and you got your stuff out there, but I was more meaning from being independent to being signed to a major or minor record label.
Yeah, if the deal was right, I definitely would sign a deal. I definitely would sign a record deal.
Well, I've got a lot of opinions about all that stuff, but, you know.
I'm going to
go to the park. You said that you collaborated with Money Block Industry. Entertainment.
Money Block Entertainment.
Right. So tell me about that album.
Well, it was a collaboration album that we, you know, put together. It was an underground album. It was sort of say, you know, like a mixtape. Just two of my good friends, CEO of Money Block Entertainment, he put it together. You know, we had some dope beats. We had some great marketing schemes. So we just put it together and just put it out.
And that's on your website, isn't it?
No, that's on one of my friends' website, G-O-D. He's also a great friend of mine that's rapping right now. It's on his website. You can go to his page, G-O-D. You know, you Google G-O-D, it'll come up. But, yeah,
okay.
That's it's on his. That, you know, that was a good project, basically, you know, so they're the front runners with that.
Okay, I've got to applaud you on your photography. I guess that's what we call cinematography, making videos, because that video
thank
for my
you,
man, I really love that video.
Thank you. I can take the credit, but I got a great guy that does my videos, man. He's awesome, man. He's a young kid coming up in the game about to do his thing.
The reason why I'm saying this is because you are very professional, not only with your lyrics, but when you talk about being a real artist, you got the total package, man. I mean,
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. For my listeners, if you haven't been to his website, I posted it in the room. I posted it on Facebook. Please go check him out. I mean, the video itself has so much richness in it, even though it's kind of, you know, faded and everything. It has so much richness in it. So do you actually have somebody to produce the video, or do you do it yourself?
Well, I can't take full credit. I mean, he's the man that edits, he shoots it. I take him to locations, you know, I can say I pick out locations. I don't pick at camera angles, you know, camera angles and stuff, that's all him. But, you know, I take him to a location and I let him, you know, roam free like a kid in the candy store to go ahead and shoot, you know, how he wants to shoot and stuff.
Right. There's one song. We Feel the Same. I think that, yeah, We Feel the Same. That's a dope beat. Where'd you get that beat from?
Well, a good friend of mine out here from Petersburg, Virginia, by the name of Ty Live. He raps, he does beats, he does it all. He made the beat, man. When he seen me in the studio, he said, "I got the perfect track for you." I said, "Yeah, right." Because I hadn't bought a beat from my man Ty Live in a long time. So I said, "Yeah, right." Because I was coming, you know, to work on Sophisticated Gorillas, you know, the new album I'm putting out right now. And he played it. I went crazy, man. And then just the whole studio went crazy. It wasn't just me. Like, I just put my hand over my face like, "Oh, man, well, I guess you've been in the lab, boy."
Once again, I love the video. The video, I mean, the people that's listening, are you going to listen to this? Please go check out his video.
I just completed two more videos, man. So, you know, I'm going to drop videos and more videos in their head because I can reach more people with these videos. And I'm going to show these boys how to do it. Just keep. I'm about to drop a million videos on people's head. And it's going to feel good to do it, too, because for a long time I've been in a struggle, man.
So, is this in V8 that you're doing this video, like the railroad track?
Yeah, that's in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. And my man, who's Lil Brandon?
You said my man, who's the what?
You said Brandon, I got you, or something like that.
That's a great friend of mine. It's her son. You know, she's like a sister to me. Woman by the name of Ty, it's her son, man. I just kind of, you know, looked out. He said, because that's his favorite song for me, man. And this is, you know, I'm sorry, he's two now. You got to say some tripping. The little 2-year-old say that he has a favorite song of mine, which is incredible, man. Because, you know, kids don't lie. Yeah, they don't like your music. They're not going to front. You know,
they're not going to I said, no, if they don't like it, they're going to definitely not.
Oh, no, they're going to tell you to turn it off. They're going to tell you to turn it off. So, you know, when you say, I said, I got him, I'm going to dedicate a video to him. And he's in another one of my videos called Bottom Boys. You know, he's one of the little kids in there, you know, giving me dap and stuff. So, yeah, it's cool. That's my little homie, Brandon, man.
All right. I just wanted to make that clear because I'm like, man, I thought he was going to give me a shout out. But
on the next video, I got you, baby.
No. I don't need none of that, man. I don't need none of that. I'm just glad that you're able to do what you want to do, and God's able to bless you and and put you on the path that you need to go.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Because you're a good dude, and I'm a good person, and I make sure I continue to pray for you and your career, because not everybody doing positive things in the right way. They just want that silver and gold.
Right.
But, I mean, your lyrics are tight to the point. They'll cut you like a razor blade. I'm telling you.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
You hang with the wolves. See? What?
It's all true, baby. It's all true.
All right, man. I know you got to go, but if you want to call back, you can always call back, man.
All right, most definitely. I appreciate it, man, you know. Appreciate it. I can't thank you enough for this, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. You come back anytime you want to.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy out there. Fly Tie VA. Look me up on YouTube. That's Fly Tie Music with the number one.
All right. That was Fly Tay, a.k.a. Wade. That's why I know him as. He got to go do a gig. He said he may be back. Mr. Dale, are you there?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I love the interview with that last guest. It inspires me to go look up his links. Thanks for posting those.
Not a problem. So what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Antoine. He's the one that turned me on to this site. Antoine has, I've been reading his works for a couple of years now. And I know he has a new book coming out. And he's not only a great person, but he's a great poet. And I don't know how many people listening have read his works, but he's an awesome writer and a great poet. And he also has a reading coming up at Hastings Bookstore in Wichita Falls on, I think, the 23rd. And unfortunately, I will not be able to be there. I'll be in Abilene. But anybody that can make it, man, oh, man, you need to go hear him. Hopefully he'll be able to give a reading other than just signing his books. And he's going to have books for sale. And if you do not have his books, if your readers, your listeners don't have his books, they're missing out. They need to go get
his
books.
I went to his page and checked out one he had on audio, and it was so beautiful. I tried to have him on, and it was something with my system. They kicked me off for a couple of days, and I missed him, so I'm going to try to reschedule him. But I definitely will be at his poetry reading because I want to see it in person and also want to get one of his books because I like to support people.
Yes, and we all have to support each other. I live in Crowell, which, as you know, is about an hour and a half from Wichita Falls, and there's not a lot of shows on that I can get out here as exciting as your show, and I wish you well on this.
Thank you. It's for the community. It's for people to get their voice out, and if they got something that they want to talk about that interests them, I mean, this is what the format's for, because I feel like the common person don't have a voice. They can't, you know, they try to call in radio shows and all this stuff, and they can't really express themselves, and they're not. I don't think that everybody's getting their opinion heard, whether somebody likes it or not. This is a forum where you can say whatever you want to say. And if you feel this, feel a way, feel that way. I'm not going to say if it's right or wrong. I mean, it may offend me a little bit, but, hey, I'll let you handle that with God. But so do you want to talk about your website?
My way, well, I'm a poet as well, and that's how I was hooked into Antoine. I have a book. Well, first of all, let me go back. 4 years ago, I had cancer. And now I've been writing for a long time, but I was inspired to dig real deep into myself. And, you know, God will lead you certain places if you let him.
Yes, sir.
And if you're open, he'll lead you to a whole lot of places.
Right.
And so I wrote my book for several different reasons, but one of the reasons was my trip through landing on the other side of cancer. And the other reason I wrote it is like a meditation book. The only way you can find it is either go to my website and order it directly, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But I'm not talking to push my book. I'm talking about how important shows like this are for the communities. And I just don't mean one community. I mean all the communities out there. Each of us have to connect with each other. And just like you said earlier, we learn from each other, but we have to have a forum for our voices to be heard. And that's one thing Antoine told me about this show. And like I said, for the 10th time, I'm sure glad I've tuned in. And but if you go to my site, you know, www.staringblueeyes.com, you'll see different blog posts I put on there, and one especially about Antoine promoting his event coming up on the 23rd.
Okay, so, I'll pull it up right now for my listeners who may not have tuned in right when you put it up. Not a problem. But you can go ahead and continue to talk, Mr. Darrell. It's fine.
Well, the one thing, if people go onto my blog, they will see a section about a video. And one of the videos you can see is some of my poetry that's recorded, and it's called This Place. And it may be hard for some people to listen to, but it's about being flat on your back at the bottom, not really giving up or wanting to give up, but just holding on to that little speck of life that's in each of us, to pull yourself up even when you think it's gone. And this place is what it's called.
Can you say that one more time? Because I think my listeners need to hear that one more time, please, because that was so profound what you just said. Can you just...
Well, thank you, sir. I just said whenever we are down on our backs, thinking we cannot get up, thinking that there's no way we can get up, there is always a spark of something in us saying, yes, you can do it. Get on up. You may think that you're at the end of your ropes, but there's that spark of God, there's that spark of life in people that says, you may think that you're dead, but you're not dead yet. And that's part of what my poetry is about. It's inspirational, it's meditational. And one of these days, sir, I'll just send you a book. If you post your mailing address on your site, I'll make sure I get you one.
I want to support you, so I'll buy one.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
No, I like to show my support, because, you know, I would appreciate you sending me a book, but I mean, I want to do my part as well. I mean, I don't have a lot of money, but I mean, I like to support people who are doing positive things for, like you said, not only just for one community, but for the whole community. Everybody's involved, and there's too much negativity out there already.
Right.
And if we come together as human beings and find that one common ground, and that one common ground is love, everybody
That's
on
right.
this planet knows how to love, period. And if we can just come together on that base, we can go a lot farther. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard. You know, let me ask you a question. Because we've
yes,
talked
sir.
A little bit, and you're from your, no, you're Czechoslovakish, right?
Yes. Yes,
and Are you originally from Czech, or that's just your nationality or ethnicity?
That's my nationality. My family been here quite a while. But we have had, you and I, sir, have had another connection. I'm the one that posted a poem on your site called Stars and Bars in the Breeze. I don't know if you saw that or got it, but I posted it. Do you remember that?
That's been a while back. It's not popping off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But I remember dialogue, though.
It's a poem I wrote about how disgusted I am with the political scene, with a lot of these Tea Partiers, so-called, the racism that's going on in this part of the state we live in, and how, just to show how the redneck mentality of this area is not only blinding us, but it's hurting each of us. It hurts me. It hurts you. I read your section, which almost made me cry, about some of the epithets that were spoken a few weeks ago. You remember putting that up?
Right.
And I also responded to you and said, you can't hold it against all white people for feeling that way, because we don't. We all have to, we're all in this together, this trip, this journey called life. And I'm one of those people. In fact, I attended President Obama's first inauguration the first time, and I have never seen such an ocean of people, the whole shade, every hue and color, every age, rich, poor, people going to church. Some of the elderly people I saw were dressed in their Sunday going to church clothes. It was
right. That
important. We have broken history, and thank God that glass ceiling, somebody has taken a hammer to it. And it took all people to break that glass ceiling so that a man like Barack could ascend to the highest position, the leader of the free world. And that just thrills my heart, because if he can do it, that sent a message to all people, whether black, white, poor people, Asians, brown, whatever, that if you have the dream, you can keep up with the dream and you can achieve your goals. And that's one thing that really made an impression on me on that first inauguration. But on the similar thing, it hurts me how, and this is my personal opinion, it hurts me how this president is being belittled by everybody that does not agree with him, or, and I can say this, or that does not like the fact that a black man is leader of the free world. Now, that's just the way I feel. And we got to get over that. Shows like this help highlight the unity that we're all striving for. We are each striving for unity. We're striving for economic and social justice. And one of these days, praise the Lord, one of these days, we will live to see that. Because we've already seen a President Obama hit the top. But that's just the top. We need to work from the bottom up. We need to raise a standard of living. We need to educate all of our young people. We need to make sure that minority businesses get the fair shake they deserve just to start climbing that ladder. It's not going to work if we all don't pull together. And we can't do it when the 1% is holding the 99% down. That's just not going to work. And we need to all pull together, not just politically, but church-wise. It grieves my heart that the church I go to is 95% white. And I live in a community where only 70% of the community is white. Well, I don't think God wants us to do that way. I don't think God wants us to not go to a church because the people around us don't look like us, and have a different culture. So we need to use every organization we have, whether it's school organizations, the churches, ecumenical groups, people getting together, as well as our political groups, for people to jump on board and to fight the evils going on.
I totally agree with everything you said. I've said it for a long time. I believe that it's time for the church to step out into the streets and take back the streets.
Yeah.
Because, as you pointed out, the people who go to the church on Sundays, they go to the church in their neighborhood or somewhere they feel comfortable. And
yeah.
Usually that comfortability is either white or black. There's some churches out there who has a mixture, but I think it goes beyond that. I think we need to go back to what Martin Luther King was doing. Martin Luther King took his church outside of the building, marched them down the street of Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
To get the people to know that their church is not only doing their share for their community, but we're about to step out into the world.
We're not only going to step out into the community. We need to bring the homeless into the church. We need to set up programs in our churches to help people get the education or at least the confidence to know that they can make something of themselves. And you're so right about stepping on the street.
Yeah,
that's what we need to do, is all pull together, get out on the street, pull in those people that other people don't like, pull in those people that other churches say they're not for us. Who cares how they're dressed? Who cares if they have body odor? Who cares anything like that? The Lord doesn't care about that. He wants us all to be one. And to be one, we have to help each other, have to help everybody bootstrap for each other, let everybody take a step forward.
And that's the reason why I'm trying to organize this community Freedom March, is to get the leadership of these churches to step out and say, you know what, we're taking back our community. We're going to take back our community, no matter if it's five of us, or if there's 100 of us, but we want to make a change. And until the church gets involved, it will be a clear indication that the people are ready to move. For those
that
who believe
that, true.
I just can't see how people can consider themselves to be children of God and then turn their nose up to, as you say, homeless people because they don't have a home, smell. Most of these people have never been to a homeless shelter.
Right.
So for them to even have this disgust about them, they need to check their ignorance. They need to check themselves in their walk with Christ. Because as we know, when Christ was walking with the disciples, he told them not to carry anything. He said, leave your old ways and follow me.
Right. Well, and one other aspect of it, you were talking to the guest who you're talking about veterans, and so many of the homeless people are veterans. And what happened to them? Society just about kicked them out on the street saying, you served your job, you protected us, you put your life on the line, now get out there. And that's
mm-hmm.
not right.
Not right at all.
And also, so many of these people have been. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
So many
of these people also have mental conditions, and like bipolar, manic depressive, depression, and a lot of that's caused by the savagery of war. You know, they came back to this country, they were not given the respect that they were due. And so it played with their mind. And so we need to let these people just not know that we appreciate what they've done, but we need to give them hope. We need to let them know that we appreciate what they've done for us, serving their country, and sometimes serving a country for generations back. And like I said, I can say this, when the Army was segregated, the military was segregated, and then black people, people of color, would come back from laying their lives down or putting their lives in harm's way, and then look what they came back to.
Right, for sure, for sure. I was going to add to that, when it comes to the veterans, it's very disheartening to me, because basically instead of saying, we see that you're injured, let's help you, they tell you that you have no injuries until you can prove it. And sometimes the people don't have documentation. Sometimes they don't have proper means to get there. Sometimes they don't have proper means to even get the paperwork together. So those people who don't get treatment when they come out of the military, any branch, they will fall through the cracks.
Well, I have a young man that – no, keep going, friend.
Those are the people that, as you say – are hurting, and that is true. There are a lot of veterans. I mean, now they're downsizing the Army. They are kicking out people. They're kicking out people and expect them to find jobs. Okay, we already know that we're in a recession. We already know that jobs are not really being met. And if you're an infantry guy, and that's all you've been doing for the last 20 years, who are you going to take control of when you get out of the service?
Exactly. Who's going to step up and help? Very few companies really do that.
There's not a lot of companies that help. I mean, they say they have all these programs, which they do. They have all these jobs positions open. If you go to U.S. jobs, you'll see all these jobs criteria. But the thing they fail to tell you is, oh, sorry, we're not hiring, or sorry, you don't fit the right. You know, I mean, you got all these excuses instead of giving the person a job.
That's right. I work with a young man who served in Afghanistan, came back a wounded veteran, suffers from that post-traumatic stress disorder, and he can't get VA benefits. It's hard for him to prove that he actually has post-traumatic stress disorder because he's got to pay his own way to a psychiatrist to get the documentation that you said. And you and I both agree that's just not right. Somebody that's been wounded with bullets, somebody that's seen killing, and their buddies dying, you know, and then for the government, the VA, to treat them like that, that is immoral. Totally
immoral. Right. Is he service-connected?
Yes, he was in the Army, and then because of his post-traumatic stress syndrome, he got out.
Right. And does he get a percentage from the VA?
Well, he did not apply for it, hoping that he could convince them that he was well enough to get back in.
Oh, my goodness.
But my heart hurts for him. But I've convinced him that he needs to go after these VA benefits. I mean, he's a young father. He's got a 6-month baby and his 9-month baby, and his wife's pregnant again. He's gonna need this.
You
and
need
so,
to tell him to call me. Please tell him that he needs to get with me so we can help him get connected.
I don't
like hearing that. I have PTSD. I have TBI. I know how that is. He's stressed out of all non-belief. Please, like I said, get in contact with him and tell him to get in contact with me. I will make sure that I can do whatever I can to get him help.
But here's a blessing in all of this. He's now gone. She goes to church with me now. He found the Lord, and he was baptized about a month ago. And so he's trying to put his life back in order. He's trying to get education. He just needs the VA to help him some. And he's finally got it through his thick head that he is not going to be well enough to go back into the service. And so it's almost too little too late, except for people like you, good people like you that's willing to help him. And I applaud you for that.
Well, I know how hard it is for service members who've got PTSD, and I didn't even know I had it until I got out of the Army. And I spent five years in a bad spot because I didn't know I had it. And it wasn't until my wife said you need to go get checked out because her uncle who was in Vietnam has it, and he has it really bad. So of course I did it and I did have it. So I can only imagine the hell he's been through and his family. And so if he's just now getting into the Lord, it's even worse because that means he's not praying and he's not reading the Bible to strengthen him, and it's totally hard.
Right.
Let me read this one thing real quick, because we're talking about this, and it is Luke 16:19-31.
Okay.
The NIV version is called The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived a lavish life every day. At his gate lied a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came up and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, when Lazarus by his side, so he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony from the fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comfortable here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you are a great chasm that has been set in place so that those who want to come from here to where you are cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not allow to come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets to listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead go to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses or the prophets, they will not listen. Excuse me, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead."
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why, I mean, that was on my spirit as you were talking, and that image of the beggar at the bottom that is not getting that help. I mean, we come up with a lot of organizations and nonprofits to help, but there's still poverty. There's still people suffering. They always say, "Well, there's criteria you got to meet and blah, 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 blah." Okay, got it. But when do we just take off the gloves and say, "Here"? When does the grocery stores stop throwing away food, fresh produce, because they got a sore on it?
Right.
Why can't they give it to the homeless? They're throwing it away anyway. They can't reuse it.
Right.
Give it to the homeless. So and it's one of those things where I continue to just ponder and pray, "Lord, Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me understanding. Because it's hard for me to fathom in the flesh, but maybe in the spirit, not maybe, but the ghost, the Holy Ghost will give me that discernment, the knowledge and the wisdom to try to understand what's going on. And like you said, it breaks me to my soul to see, I tell you this, when I was in Iraq, I saw these children, they had no clothes on, they had no food, they had no running water. They lived in the building that was bombed, and they washed their clothes off of the water that was dripping down on the ground after it rained. That's how they would wash their clothes. And I'm saying to myself, this is poverty.
Yes.
Poverty at its worst. And we have all this excess that we have in America, and we can't spare a dollar. We can't spare that $20 we were going to spend on that CD. $20 that we were just going to throw away anyway, or buy on a lotto ticket that we could have gave to a person who had need. I don't know, my heart. That's just how my heart's made, and it's who I am. You know.
That tells me the Spirit's living inside of you, because without the Spirit, you would not be feeling that way, brother.
Thank you. Yes, I mean it is definitely something that we who believe in Christ, we have to continue to push that. And another thing that I always say is we can't be afraid to use Christ. We can't be afraid of it.
Right.
Because most people apologize and say, I apologize for bringing up the Bible. No, we need to bring the Bible in it. No, we need to bring Jesus in the topic of discussion. Because everybody loves Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus. That's what they say they do.
Right.
But even the demons know who Jesus is.
Sure.
So even Satan knows the scripture. So it's time for the people of Christ to stand up against the naysayers. We know, brother, that everything's not going to be perfect. We know that.
Sure.
Because the scripture got to be fulfilled. We know that. But we can do is we can help those who are in need now. And that's why I try to, everywhere I go, I always tell them, hey, remember the spirits, the fruits of the Spirit.
Sure.
Remember the gifts of the Spirit. Which one are you using? What are you doing to edify your community? And I'm glad that your community has you to help in that. Because like you said, we all live in a small little community, but when we get together and we have opportunities to talk like this on shows like this, we don't need to be face to face to have fellowship.
Right.
We're getting it right now.
Right.
And so for the people who are going to listen to the broadcast, you know, when they have time, they'll understand where people are coming from.
True.
It's not about black and white. It's not about age. It's not about sex. It's about love.
How true.
And how much love do you have for your brother or your sister? Because Jesus told us that the second commandment that he told us is that we must love ourselves as we love our neighbor.
How true. Well, I tell you what, if you put your email address on the chat room where I am right now, I will certainly get it to my friend, and in the office I'll have him contact you. And I appreciate the offer of your services to him. You're doing a great job. This show is very needed, especially in the areas where we live. And I just thank you so much for your willingness to share as we all sound off, and for giving everybody a forum. And I'm going to go now and listen to some other callers. But I thank you, and I will be listening again.
Well,
and
thank
like
you very
said,
much.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I thank God for you. I thank you for spending some time with me. I know you didn't have to come on, but I really appreciate you calling in. And please call back whenever you would like.
Thank you very much. I will.
All right. It was a pleasure.
Same here, sir. Same for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Good night, sir.
Brother Charles is on there in the chat room saying, he says, keep Jesus on the blast. He also said, who do we wear, man or who do we fear, man or God? And I just like to continue to stay on this theme that Mr. Darrell was so graciously to embrace us with, because the love that we show or the love that we contribute has to be pure love, you know, some agape love, some Philadelphia love. Where do we go from here? Do we continue to do the same thing as what people call business as usual? What does that mean, business as usual? Well, that means you've seen these in these cookie cutter worlds, little things. Sorry about that. But I'm back now. And I got disconnected, and I'm back now. So I just wanted to continue what Brother Darrell was saying on the edge of love and where do we go from here. How do we respect one another and come to a brand where we're not doing business as usual? Because business as usual has never gotten us anywhere. Never. I don't know how or what or when what happens, but the cookie cutter world says this. Everybody in the block and neighborhood work at the same plant. They leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go to work. They go to work, and then they start talking about this and that. They come home. Everybody comes home for lunch. Everybody leaves out of the garage at the same time. After they get home for lunch, everybody gets back 4:45 on the dot. Dinner's made. The wife is there with the beautiful children and the picket white fences. Business as usual. Well, to me, business as usual won't cut it these days. It is time for some real action. It is time for Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter type action. So when you go in and you say, man, what do I need to do in order to make a change? I mean, because Obama ain't gonna change. Last stories in the Bible that talks about change. A lot of ways that people try to manipulate their way through the system to solve different things. Okay, how do we solve this problem? That's my question. Because Brother Darrell brought up so many valuable nuggets. First of all, he said when he wrote his book that he wanted people to know that even at the very end, towards the very last twilight, close to death, you still should have hope. I'm telling you, that messed my spirit up. Not messed it up, like hurt me, like gave me, like my spirit leaped for joy. You remember what when Jesus and John was in the womb and they, Mary and, what's her name, Sarah? Mary and her cousin, I forgot her name. Dang it. But when John the Baptist was in his stomach and Jesus was together, they leaped. When they saw each other, when they went by each other. You see, that's that faith. That is the gift. That is the spiritual gift of faith. Okay? Well, I talked about this last week. About having that spiritual gift of faith. Not everybody got that. Nope, not everybody got understanding on that. Maybe you got to experience death. We're not talking about spiritual suicide. We're talking about physical death. When you come close eye to eye with the Grim Reaper himself, to understand you got to be faithful unto death, even unto death, like Stephen. While Stephen was dying and being stoned, the heavens opened up, and he asked him, he said, Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even to the brink of death, he still forgave them. Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that, huh? Can you hear, Dale?
Well, I can hear on the telephone. I cannot hear on the computer.
Okay. So if I mute it, can you still hear?
Yes, I can if you mute it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have to develop a good spiritual diet, okay? Because listen, some of us eat 3 squares a day. Depending on what you do for a living, you'll eat 3 squares. But you will get nutrients in your body, okay? So all I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is to have that spiritual diet with Jesus. That's all I'm asking. I'm not sitting here trying to push Jesus on you, but Jesus needs to be on your mind. When you sit and be idle, the devil's going to jump you. The devil's going to jump you. That's why when we sit and we want to do projects, we go time, we let time go by. And then everything starts piling up, and it seems like, oh my goodness, I forgot what we needed to do. You got to be active. You got to be pushing forward. You got to continue the momentum. Because the devil wants you to slow down your momentum. Once the devil got you slowing down, you're not a force anymore. Now, we all know that energy cannot be lost nor created. It's already there. You've already got energy, okay? So once the energy is there, continue to propel the energy, whether it's forward or backwards, but we need to propel that energy. We want that positive energy that comes from Jesus Christ. We want that wisdom want it. We need it. Because there's nothing that we can do unless God allows us to open that door for us. I mean, we put our flesh in it, we can put our flesh in it, and we can mess it up. But what we need to do is to give ourselves a decrease while the Lord gets the increase and letting him show. Let him show. Because listen, I mean, it's been beating me up. I've been had a hard 2 weeks. Now, if you heard, listen to me the other day. I was talking about Satan and his dominions and how I was going on a level that's really high. I want you to know that the devil has been attacking me. He's called me to depression. He called me to try to steal my joy, giving me turmoil. But see, I already know who Jesus is. I've already got the victory. It is the delusion or the illusion that he thinks he's got me beat. But Jesus got a ram in the bush. Huh? Abraham, Isaac, ring a bell. Got a ram in the bush. Freeze! Stop right there! Don't you do it. I got to continue to go. We have to continue to stand up for righteousness. We have to continue to stand up for those who cannot protect themselves. For my listeners out there who have a job of authority, for those who are listening who have a position in the church, for those who have a position in the organizations, I'll ask you to do two things this year, please. And you don't have to do it because I'm asking you to. I'm kind of a steward of Jesus, okay? Because Jesus loved the babies. I'm just saying what Jesus said. Me and my brother was talking about, he said, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck than messing one of them babies. Millstone around your neck than mess with the children. Don't mess with the kids. Okay? So, I want your organization, I want your business to do something not for the kids who always get stuff. Let's do it for the people like who has special needs. Why don't you spend a day with them? How about just do a little field trip and spend a day with kids who got special needs? How about you go and you visit a homeless shelter where the kids and the women are? How about you go to a food kitchen, to a homeless shelter and food kitchen, and serve lunch at lunchtime? It doesn't take long, maybe 30 minutes. How about taking a class field trip or a community trip to the old folks' home where you live? I know there's all these manors out there, these different places where the elderly people live. We're supposed to respect the elders, the elderly, the widows, and the children. But people, may I ask you this question? Who are the people that the government is cutting out as we speak? The children? Are you following me now? Okay. I just want to make sure. They're cutting out the children. They're cutting out the special needs. They're cutting out the elderly. Which usually are at the bottom of being poor because they require special programs. Oh, we don't need that program. Oh, no, we don't need those old people. You know, they don't need that. They're going to die anyway. Right? No. Jesus instructed his children to respect the elderly. He instructed us to protect the widows. He ordered us to protect the children. And if you are a child of God, you should honor those words. That's not mine. There's Jesus' words. How you handle your sin and how you read your Bible. Please do. It is important for us to be the protector. See, you'll protect what's yours. You'll get mad what's yours because it don't affect you. But that's that selfish attitude that we have to retrain our brains. I'm saying this because I love humanity. I love the people. I'm human. Everybody, I'm human. I make mistakes. I say things that I don't mean sometimes. Between me and Jesus. Like my brother Charles tell me, I need to check my ignorance. Check it. I've got to check it before I even open up my mouth, because everything I say will be recorded in the book of life. It's important for us to grapple with these concepts because we look at the world in dollar signs. I'm not saying that you should not live comfortable. I'm not saying that at all. But just like I read with Luke 13 through 16, we must know who are we entertaining. We could be entertaining angels every day. We don't know. I thank God for tonight's show because it has enfreshened me, enlightened me. And given me strength, because that's what we do when we fellowship. We strengthen what we already know. And for the things that we don't know, God gives us inspiration. Gives us hope and love. And even sometimes we get a little chastisement. But we know when we get chastisement, we've got to be able to slow down the quickness of the anger. We've got to slow down and listen and still love. Still love. I know that's something me and the brother Daryl said. It's important that we show love. Because if we're only showing if we're only showing what we think we need people to sell, people will see right through that. People see right through that. But the reality is we've got to band together, okay? Because like I said on my show last night, what happens when the middle class goes away? Then everything becomes visible. Then what the poor people have been saying for millions and millions of years that there's an elite of people at the top percent who's rich, and then there's everybody else. So that is why the Democrats and the Republicans are always talking about the middle class. They don't want to lose it. They need that buffer. What else do they need to protect themselves? Well, if there's no separation between, if there's a separation between the rich and the poor, then it's not visible. But you take that middle class away, you'll see everybody dwindling down, and we've all got to work for the corporate elites. the top 1%. And then we've got to work for their cronies. You think money's real? Money's not real. Money is a digital scheme. Okay, you say, well, George, how is money a digital scheme? Okay, well, they print money, right? When you get your check, they send it to your bank account. How do they send it? Do they send it in dollar bills and 50s and 20s? No, they send it by computer-operated codes. When you go to your ATM, you put your PIN number in, guess what? It's not read of how many dollars you have. It's read by a computer code of what the code says it is to be. So, yes, you can draw money out, and that's the physical side of it. But if you look at Wall Street, you don't see people up there throwing around dollars. All they're doing is running the numbers. They're running the numbers. Everything's numbers. So that's why we need to teach our children Latin. That's why we need to teach our children arithmetic. That's why we need to teach our children math, astrology, astronomy, geology, physics. Now, I'm not a science guy. I've given up on science. I'm not a believer of science. I believe that some science is good. I do. I really do. But then there's the sciences that are used to control the masses. And those that I refer to as not being a part of. So I don't want to stray away from what I'm getting at. So we have to protect our children. And I didn't want to get onto a political talk tonight. But I have to say this and say that even though at the first administration term of Obama I didn't agree with, when he gave his second State of the Union address, his first State of the Union address in his first term of presidency, I heard nothing wrong with anything that he said that he wanted to do for the United States of America. If you are against those things and you don't like Obama based on those policies, then I ask you to please go pray again. Because what's wrong with having Head Start for all people? What's wrong with raising minimum wage where everybody can have comfortable living and be able to pay for babysitting? Now, you're saying that Social Security is not needed. You're saying that welfare is not needed. But you fail to realize that without those programs, the hungry will go hungrier. The elderly who've done their time, who have put in their work, who have paid into the system, need to get their just due. So, us young people who say, oh, well, they don't need Social Security, I would say they do. I beg to differ. Because they worked for that. They bust their butt. They have put in their time. I remember not long ago, I think about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, they were talking about how the baby boomers were on the verge of retiring, and there was huge numbers of people that were going to retire, and you know, it was going to cause this backlash of empty jobs without experienced people. And then who do you blame? You can't blame the people. You've got to blame the institution for being unfair. When instead of hiring at a time where you know these people are getting older, you should be finding them replacements. But instead, you wanted to cut corners and not be able to pay people. So you cut their job. gave them more hours, and now they're about to quit on you. They're about to retire on you. Now people are starting to panic. We need to take care of the elderly. We need to take care of the poor. We need to take care of the people who have special needs, and we need to take care of our children. If we cut funding, if we cut programs that deal with that stuff, it will be very visible of how strong America will be in the next 20 years. We're already talking about what will the next generation do, what will the next generation be. Listen, if we got continuous dropout rates, we got continuous young teenagers getting pregnant, we've got single-parent homes, we got people who don't go to secondary education, majority or minority, we have no minority filling in these positions and these slots. I mean, not only, let me pull this up because we are on this very topic that when we're talking about supporting, and I want to read an email that I received from the I mentioned that I went to a museum. I went to a museum, and the museum was about I'm going to give the name because it's public, all right? So it was the National Museum Air Force in Ohio, okay? And he says, this is what when I filled out a complaint card, okay? The reason why I filled out a complaint card was because when I went to the museum with me and this other gentleman, we weren't even in the exhibit, not even about 10 minutes. And I saw this gentleman, and his name was Eugene Jimmy Bullard, and he was the first black pilot to ever fly, but he was in the French Army, and he had a monkey on his arm. Now, me being a black man and what they say about black people, the first thing you see is a monkey. Then you say, okay, well, even an ape can fly this. That's what I got, okay? This is what I say. This is what I got. It says, we are very appreciative of you taking time to share your comments with us. Here at the National Museum of the United States Air Force, we have nearly 1 million square feet of exhibit space and regrettably small exhibit staff to keep up with the pace of the institution. You have commented there that there should be greater diversity represented in our displays. We agree, and we are working together towards that end. For example, we currently restored a Sturman PT-17 to be a part of the new and most expensive exhibit dilemma on the Tuskegee Airmen beginning in their initial training on Meg Field in Alabama. This new exhibit is scheduled for completion next February during Black History Month. We do have other exhibits integrated throughout our displays doing with Eugene Bullock in World War I. Then they say that in the World War II area, in addition of the current Tuskegee exhibit, we have African Americans are in the center focus of the Engineer Aviation Battalion exhibit adjacent to the C-46 transportation. And beginning in the Korean War Gallery, diversity is not represented in a specific exhibit, but rather than including African American images as a cohort parts of the historical navigation. An example is an African-American photo interpreting in this way. This is an overview of only a few of the exhibits that are currently here at the NMSF SAF. I'm confident that we're going forward in developing our Cold War displays and others. We have had the opportunity to have more inclusive, not only of African-American, but Hispanics and female members. Again, thank you for your comments, and we will look forward to your next visit. Now, as I appreciate the letter, I'm not buying it. Because the first thing that I bring to the attention is this. They says that they have 1 million square feet of exhibit space and regretfully a small exhibit staff to keep up with the pace of the institution. What does that have to do with diversity? If you have 1 million square spots and you can only think of 3 spots where black people are? Okay, so the exhibit that I was talking about was the Eugene Bullock one, which was a World War I pilot who flew in France. He wasn't even American. He was American, but he flew for the French army. Okay, but that exhibit's up there. Okay, woo, all right. The second thing is they talk about the Tuskegee exhibit, which they do, and it's at the very back corner. And I say it's a good 20 feet, maybe less. That's not an exhibit. Now, when you got pictures of white folk all over the place, okay, I give them that. They also have an African-American center focus of the engineering battalion, which is completely correct. They did. But what they failed to tell you is the reason why that engineering battalion was there in the first place, it's because blacks couldn't fight in the army. But we thank you. We appreciate it. We're going to be thankful for that little bit. I'm at the point in my life where I'm not begging for scraps. We should not say we've got these 3 things. There's no Hispanic people. There's no Japanese Americans who gave their life. There's Japanese Americans who gave their life in World War II for America, and you telling me there's no homage to those soldiers? There's no homage to women soldiers who fought for the army? There's no Hispanics in the museum, but you said that we have 1.1 million square feet of exhibits? And they're working on diversity? I want to call you bluff on that. Listen, you can either stand up and fight, or you can lay down and die. Stand up and fight, or you can lay down and die. I say this again to my loving family out there, to my listeners. We need to love each other for where we are right now. So that means if Charlie the Racist is a racist, we've got to love Charlie the Racist as he is now. We've got to love Jamal the Bigot as he is right now. We've got to love Lil' Kim and her drug addiction where she is right now. We've got to love Mr. Wong in the projects who's selling those hair products and fish portions. But God loved him where he is right now. And what am I saying about that is we want everybody to be in a cookie cutter perfect scenario when we meet them. When we meet people and we get to know people, we know there's certain things that you do not know completely about the person. But what I am saying is if you go in with love, knowing that the person is imperfect, then there's no expectations. There is no letdowns. See, it's only letdowns when you put people on pedestals. You get excited, you get it overzealous, you just love it. But when we deny the flesh and let God take over, it's a win-win situation. All right, y'all. I love you. My voice is a little hoarse right now. So tomorrow we'll have Dr. Barbosa on. Yeah, we got him. So he will be coming back. We have to reschedule, but he'll be back tomorrow. Going to be a great show tomorrow. Please tune in. He will be talking about his Hispanic culture and what it took to be an Hispanic male going through the era of time that he had to do, because he's an older gentleman, to get his doctorate degree in the society. Great man. Love his enthusiasm. I love his presence. His authority. I mean, he's got it together. And he also looks like my father-in-law. So, there it is. So, tomorrow, Dr. Barbosa, tune in tomorrow. We're almost at 10,000 listens, y'all. You know what we're going to do. We're going to party. And we get 1,000 listens. I appreciate you. I love my audience. I love those who support, who don't support. Continue to pray for me and my family. Pray for your enemies. Do what God asks you to do. Hug your children. Kiss your wife. Kiss your husband. Kiss your mother. Kiss your daddy. Kiss your grandma, your grandpa, aunties, uncles, Tia, however y'all want to call it. All right. So, not saying all that. The BBW fashion show will still go on. I'm working as diligently as I can to get it done, and it will work because I have faith into death. And once again, if you would like to help out in any capacity, whether you just work backstage, whether you just want to volunteer, whether you just want to show up. Now, I'm asking you to give $20 to come in so we can donate it to a charity. Okay? So you can go to my Facebook page, and I also have my website, which is www.soundoffforums.com. That's soundoffforums.com. Soundoffforums.com. You can also know that we're going to put together a senior citizen function, senior citizen fashion show. Coming up next month as well. Want to do something for the community. I want to be able to let God show up. It's not for me. It's not about sign up forums. It's not about anything, but to do what God asked me to do to get that out there. And I say, listen, the Freedom March is coming. If you live in Texas, if you live close by Texas, if you just want to fly in to support the Freedom March, please contact me. Please contact me so we can continue to do positive things for the community and let the people know that we're standing and we're no longer taking this down, laying down. So the next time I hear you, you should be sounding off. Good night.